Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 at verse 6. I want to try to go down to verse 11. Not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Now these verses found here, verse 6 down through verse 10, 11, these verses found here give extra comfort and assurance to every believer resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Several reasons. A believer knows that he is a sinner. We know that. We've been taught that of God. A believer knows also that his sin deserves nothing but judgment, condemnation, and wrath. A believer also knows that his only hope of forgiveness of sin and salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. That's what's given to us here. We see beyond all doubt that the love of God to his people is freely given and abundantly displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ dying for his people. The Lord Jesus Christ did not die to get God in a loving notion. The Lord Jesus Christ died because God is love. That's why he died. But notice carefully verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, without merit, without righteousness, without Christ, and without hope, when we were yet without, you can run a long way with that. Says here, without strength, without merit, without righteousness, when we were yet without strength, in due time, that is according to God's time, the Lord Jesus Christ died for. He died for somebody. Did he die for you? Well, if you can fit the description of that promise there, he died for you. That word there that describes those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died, he says they're ungodly. They're ungodly. Now, verse 6 is the sum and substance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the great article of faith. Christ died for the ungodly. Five words. Five words there. Christ died for the ungodly. You see that? I remember reading years ago a statement by Charles Spurgeon, and he said this: if I had but five words of which to repeat every time I was in the pulpit, if I had just five words I could say every time I was in the pulpit, he said I would repeat those five words: Christ died for the ungodly. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's the gospel, and that's the sum and substance of the gospel. Now, we see in that verse three or four different things. We see who it is that died. The Lord Jesus Christ is no mere man. We see the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Christ of God that died. The Christ of God. The Messiah. The one promised of God. That promised Son of David. The Lord Jesus Christ died. The lovely, eternal Son of God, or God the Eternal Son. God was manifest in the flesh, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, presented as the Lamb of God that would take away our sin. In Acts 20, the scripture said that God bought the church with his own blood. You see, this is what gives power and success and glory to the work the Lord Jesus Christ did, the work of salvation, the work of redemption. It's who he is. It's who he is. He's not just a mere Jewish man from Galilee. The one who died is the Christ of God, Son of God. And being so, what he did is effectual and successful. He obtained for us eternal redemption. And then we also see taught in this verse, we see how he died. Christ died a death of shame under the wrath of God for our sin. Now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture's clear about the Lamb of God. He had no sin, knew no sin, and He did no sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ took the sin of God's people. He bare our sin in His own body on the tree. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our sin was laid upon Him, and being so, He died under the wrath of God for our sin. And He does so by the will of God, by the determinate counsel of God. The Lord said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ died. He died a death of substitution and satisfaction. That's the third thing we see why He died. It says here that He died for the ungodly. He died in the room and in the stead of His covenant people as a sinner's substitute to honor the holy justice of God on our behalf, as we studied in Romans chapter 3, that God might be just and the justifier of those who believe in Him. Now, the beauty and glory of the gospel is this, and the mystery of the gospel is this, how God can remain holy and just and yet justify the ungodly and do it in such a way that's honoring to His justice, honoring to His love, and honoring to His mercy, honoring to His grace. And the only way that can be done is for Christ to suffer for our sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. Now that scripture we quote often in 2 Corinthians 5:21, but it bears repeating so many times, for God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's what the believer enjoys because of Christ crucified. You remember the Apostle Paul put it this way? He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's no other way of salvation but through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now here's the fourth thing. For whom did He die? For whom did He die? Well, He died for sinners. Without merit, without strength, without righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. The Apostle Paul put it this way. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, we see more of the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. That's why Paul said, I'm the chief one. I'm the chief sinner. And then we see when He died. When He died. In due time. In due time. Or as the marginal reference has, according to the time. The Lord Jesus Christ died the appointed death. The appointed death. Who appointed that death? Well, He, God Almighty, appointed Christ to die in our room and in our stead. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He died the appointed death, the appointed way. He died for the appointed people. He laid down His life for the sheep, for His covenant people. And He died the appointed time in the fullness of the time. Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And He died for the appointed purpose. His death was not an attempt to put away sin. His death actually accomplished our salvation. His death actually put away the sin completely, totally, and eternally of all His covenant people. And for His glory, call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now look at verse 7. He says, for scarcely For a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Substitution, satisfaction. For scarcely, that is with difficulty, it would be difficult for someone to give his life for one who was just a mere, strict, mean, moral, religious man. Or, he said, peradventure, maybe for a good man, a kind and generous man, some might venture to die to give his life for that man. But see what he's doing here, he's drawing a contrast, doesn't he? He's drawing a contrast. For scarcely with difficulty for a righteous man one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some might even dare to die, but God. Now what a contrast. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet dead in our sin, dead in Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. Now, that is love. That statement there, those two words, but God. Now, if you want to turn, you can read with me over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we see a similar statement. Ephesians 2 verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now, we didn't love him. Not first. We love him only because he first loved us. He loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's by grace that you are saved. Now back to the text. But God commended his electing love, his everlasting love. He loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness does he draw us to himself. His love is an unchanging love toward us, while we were yet not only sinners, but if you go on and read Ephesians chapter 2, he said we were also without Christ, without strength, without hope, when we were enemies to God. The Lord Jesus Christ freely gave his life. No one took it from him. He freely gave his life and made an effectual atonement for our sin. Find, if you will, 1 John chapter 4. He made atonement for our sin. Not an attempt. He made complete atonement for our sin. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sin. You remember God set him forth to be the propitiation by the sacrifice of his blood. Now, look back to the text. Romans 5, verse 8. God commendeth his love. Now, his love is sovereign love, isn't it? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. His love is eternal love. His love is unchanging love. His love is sacrificial love. His love is dying love toward us, in that while we were yet enemies, aliens, sinners, ungodly, who would die for such a man like that? Well, he did. He died for us. Again, substitution. Now, look at verse 9. Much more then, being now justified. justified by his blood. Remember Romans 3:24. Turn back over there. There it says being justified freely by his grace. So we're justified by his grace. We're justified by his blood, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, in the same chapter, Romans 5, look over at verse 20. Romans 5, verse 20. I love this phrase, much more. Much more. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Righteousness being established. Who established righteousness for us? The Lord Jesus Christ. He established righteousness for us unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, being justified by Christ through his blood, we are not only justified and made righteous, cleared of all guilt, but we also shall be saved or delivered from the wrath to come through wrath in him. Now, if you want to turn with me, we can turn and find Galatians, the book of Galatians, right after the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. He had delivered us from the wrath to come, who gave himself for our sins. You see, the Holy Spirit just has one message, salvation through a substitute. Christ gave himself for our sin that he might deliver us, redeem us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now turn over a couple of pages over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from your idols. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. Notice it doesn't say you turned from your idols to God. Doesn't say that, does it? You turned to God, being turned by him. You turned to God, and when that happened, you turned from your idols to serve the true and living God, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivered us. He delivered us, the wrath to come. And he did that by his appointment. If you want to find 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So he has delivered us from the wrath to come, being justified. Remember, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. Now look at verse 10. Romans 5, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies. We were enemies. The carnal mind. Now here's what we are by nature. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. We by nature love darkness, not light. Sin, not righteousness. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And here's that statement again. Much more, being reconciled, being justified, we shall be saved by his life. Being reconciled. Now, how are we reconciled? find 2 Thessalonians 5, being reconciled in Christ. Now, reconciliation is the opposite of separation, right? When two people separate for some reason, and then by some kind of mediation, they come together again and they're reconciled. Well, the reason of that separation has been removed. That's why they're reconciled. The Scriptures teach this. You find 2 Corinthians 5. The Scriptures teach this in Isaiah 59:2, that your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So the reason of our separation from God was our sin. Now, how are we going to be reconciled? God is holy. We're sinful. How are we going to be reconciled, a sinner, unto God who is holy? How can that take place? Only through the mediation of Christ. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ making satisfaction for our sin. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us this ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that means, namely, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now, does that mean every person that ever lived in the world? No, it explains who these people are. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. So, tells us, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Remember, Romans chapter 4. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Now we pray you in Christ's stead. Now be ye reconciled. God is reconciled through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's saying here, as one old preacher used to say, now lay down your shotgun. Lay down your enmity. Put your enmity away. Now be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Reconciled unto God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by what we have done, but rather what Christ has done for us. Now notice this. And we shall be saved by his life. Not only by his death, but by his life. What does that mean? He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. If he does not live right now to ever intercede for us, we have no reconciliation. If he's not raised up from the dead, we have no justification. We have no salvation. We shall be saved by his life. He ever lived to intercede for us. Our Lord said in John 14:19, because I live, you shall live also. Now turn over here to Romans chapter 8. When he by himself purged our sin, what happened after that? He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Read on now, Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. It just seems like he gets higher and higher and higher. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He ever lived to intercede for us, able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth for us. Now, Romans 5, verse 11. Not only so, but we also. You mean there's more? Not only so, is that so? But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received. And notice that word there in our text says atonement, but notice number 3 in the marginal reference is reconciliation. And actually that's the word in the original. Reconciliation is the fruit of atonement. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received. Right now, we have received reconciliation. Now, we're not only justified, not only reconciled, not only saved from wrath, not only loved of God, not only redeemed by the blood of Christ, but also, you see, that just keeps building on it, doesn't it? Building, building. But also, we joy in God. That is, we enjoy the Lord our God. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember back in Romans 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. We rejoice. We have a good hope. But we rejoice in that hope, don't we? We rejoice in the Lord. We are the true Israel of God, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh, by whom we now have reconciliation, complete pardon, forgiveness of all our sin through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are reconciled. Now, I go back to my opening statement. These verses here to the believer gives us assurance, confidence, hope, and rejoicing in the Lord. In the Lord. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord. We can say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. He's reconciled us. When we were yet without enemies, aliens, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, but now, in Christ, made new creatures in Him.